Hello, everybody. This is Clint Locklear with Rant of a Free Trapper. And this is not a rant. This is not really one of those things where it's like a cool thing in history or something like that. Basically, what tonight is a thought process that I've been going through. And I am not giving medical advice. I am not saying that I'm right. I'm not saying anything except I find this highly intriguing. Now, the last couple times, I've mentioned food and fat and scurvy, and I'm telling you, everybody should read the book, The Fat of the Land. It's just eye-opening, and that's kind of led me down a journey now where I'm reading a book on either hunter-gatherers or the paleo diet or the carnivore diet, and then I'm also looking up stuff online of why it's bad, and I'm trying to come up with this. It's more of a mental thing, you know, whatsoever, because I think there's a lot of similarities in a lot of these diets, and there's a lot of similar reasons why people are doing them. And then you have the carnivore diet, which is you just eat meat. I mean, there's people that's been living for 20 years on hamburger and prime rib and ribeyes. And their blood work is amazing. They have way more muscle than most people do. They're not having any vitamin deficiencies. They're athletes, a lot of them. And it just blows me away, because that really, when you think about just eating meat, I mean, can you think of something that's more unhealthy? And then the more people that I've read like this, it's kind of like, is it unhealthy and why do I think it's unhealthy? So that goes through research, and you start finding out about all the stuff where if you eat too much protein, it hurts your kidneys, and you find out that's absolute bull crap. And there's an ideology and agenda behind that study. Or you've got to eat vegetables and fruit to get, you know, vitamins and minerals. And as you just go down this path, it just really is amazing. But the problem is, pretty much everybody has got a side. It's just like politics. You got liberal, conservative, libertarian, you know, communist, socialist. And everybody puts on their jersey and they ignore stuff that may not help the argument, and they embellish things that do, and they don't want to look at anything that doesn't. Kind of like vegetarianism or veganism is more like a religion than it is really a diet. I mean, it is a ideology of the person more than it is the diet. Because if you research someone that's a vegan or a vegetarian, you can't really do too much more to be unhealthy of anything I can think of. But at the same time, the way we eat, because we think, like at 50 years old, well, my parents ate like this, and I can see my dad now at his older age, maybe not the best. And then what did his dad eat, which is a little different than what he eats, and he died of a heart attack really young, you know. But it's we get in this thing that, you know, if our grandparents did it, it's like old and ancient, and it's the way that it should be, because, you know, that's like history, and it's just different today, but it was better back then, or whatever we think. We have these weird things that go on in our head, and me included. Absolutely me included. Well, what I just want to, there's kind of a, I'm curious for someone, and I, if you're just going to come up and say you got to eat your vegetables because of nutrition, you know, you can say that on a comment or something, but it's not something I'm going to take very serious. But if you know somebody that's done any of these really hardcore paleo or carnivore diets, let me know if you've done it. I'd be curious. But what really got me thinking in a different way, because every one of these diets has a almost like a zealot or a religion group behind it. Not like, you know, it's a religious group like Baptist or Catholic or Muslim, but I mean, people wrap themselves up in these ideologies, and it gets very confusion on what is zealotness and what is real. But as I'm going through a lot of these books and over time just thinking about them, it's curious to me, because I've noticed something this time more than any other. A lot of the old black and white pictures, now there's skinny hunter-gatherers too, you know, depending on where they're at and stuff, But a majority of the hunter-gatherers that people could take photographs, you know, back when photography first started, they were ripped little stud muffins. I mean, rippling muscles, six packs, big round shoulders, deltoids. They had biceps. They had chests that looked like they bench pressed all the time. But the most interesting thing when you start looking at that, they didn't. They really didn't exercise the way that we think about. And then when you go back and you look at the anthropology side of things and you look at the records of some of these things where they can measure bone density, hunter-gatherers that were meat eaters had more dense bones. That was obvious. Hunter-gatherers that ate mostly a meat diet was way more muscular than we are today. We have to go to a gym and kill ourselves to be what they were on an everyday basis. Their tendons and ligaments, the way that they went together, was much stronger than ours today. You can't find any type of degenerative disease in any skeleton of a meat eater of any kind. Now, they did die because something speared them or another guy clubbed them, and the idea of infection is what killed most people before the modern age. Now, we don't die of infections like TB and stuff like that the way that we used to, or the flu. Now it's degenerative disease, you know, autism and Lou Gehrig's disease and cancer and heart attacks and strokes and diabetes and all this stuff is degenerative. They didn't have any of that. But they were susceptible because they didn't really understand germs, or, you know, you can't have somebody that's got the plague, you know, kissing you or sneezing on you or something like that. They did die of infections. A cut back then could be very, very serious because they didn't understand you had to keep them clean, that stuff would get infected, infected blood, yada, yada, yada. But the bones and stuff and the muscle structure, and they were about 6 inches taller than we are today. Now, see, when you think about it that way, now that's throwing things in a different loop. Now, see here. Sorry about this, but I'm going to have to. Sorry about that. Travis just showed up, and we got wholesale orders going out at our show down in Alabama that we're leaving for Friday morning. Travis is coming. And anyway, that's just life. But the meat eaters that were hunter-gatherers were 6 inches taller than the average man today is in America. Now, see, that goes against everything I've been taught. With our more nutrition and all this stuff, supposedly, as modern man, we get taller. You know, we're taller than they were. We're bigger than they were. That's not true. Because there's evidence from bones that the average hunter-gatherer that ate meat was 6 inches taller than today. And I guess the average man today is probably 5'11", 5'10", somewhere in there. So if it's 5'11", that means the average hunter-gatherer was 6'3", 6'4". It means you had some more taller, and you're always going to have people shorter, genetic differences. But they were taller, they had more muscle, they had denser bones, and they didn't have disease. That's just a fact. That's not, no one disputes any of this. You know, no matter what group anybody's from, this is just, you go test the remains and it's pretty clear. Now, the other thing that blew me away more than anything after looking at those pictures, because those have like stayed in my mind kind of like a fog. These guys that didn't work out, we have to kill ourselves to look like that. But their brains were 200 grams larger than ours, which means a prehistoric man, or whatever you want to consider before agriculture, had a larger brain, and larger brain equates into intelligence. Now, we think we're more intelligent today because we have the internet, or we can look up any fact we want on Google. Or, you know, we've got degrees and schools and we can, you know, read and write and we can do all that. But is that really truly intelligence? Think about it, what the intelligent level must have been for a human being that didn't have fangs, had to build his own tools out of nothing, didn't have a hairy body, so he had to stay warm. What was that like to live day to day? How much knowledge would you have for that to pay off? Their brains were bigger than they are today. I keep going back to these pictures of like a lot of the Aboriginals that they showed pictures of in Australia. And like I said, these guys are not like The Rock. But it would be embarrassing to have, you know, an average American today stand next to one of these guys. Because they look like, I'm trying to think of a body type a lot of people would know. They look like, more like the guy that plays the new James Bond. When you see him without his shirt off. He's not huge muscular like The Rock. But you know, he's got a basis there that is highly athletic and really strong. You know, that's kind of what it is. You know, it was just amazing to me, because when you look at the lifestyle of a hunter-gatherer, they didn't work the way that we think about working. They didn't have construction jobs. They didn't go cut down and move a lot of timber per se. They didn't work out. They didn't lift weights. They didn't do all the things that we would need to do today to build muscle. So how are they getting this muscle? Because on average, a hunter-gatherer sat around about 18 hours a day. They didn't work all day long. That came with agriculture. That was not a hunter-gatherer. But they had the body of somebody with a bigger brain, taller, denser muscles, and denser ligaments and tendons and denser bone than we do. And they didn't do all this other stuff. How is that possible? And then you look at what they eat. Now, another thing you're going to find out if you start doing a bunch of research with this, which is very, very interesting to me, and there's a lot of bias here, no doubt. When you look at plant life for food, like when you look at the older Eskimos when they used to interview them, they never considered salmon berries or blueberries to be food. It was a treat. It was never meant for food. It was just like, you know, getting candy. No one really looks at candy, quote, as food. That's the way they looked at it. The Aboriginals thought that the only time you should try to eat plants was during a famine, and you didn't have any other option. It was famine food. It's when all the real food was not there and you just had to try to do something so you wouldn't be so hungry. Very ancient culture, the way they looked at fruit and vegetables. That's not the way most people think of hunter-gatherers, because they think of them out there picking greens and having salads and, you know, going to find all these fruits and stuff like that. That's not really when you look at what it was. And you can look at a lot of the Native Americans, they would only eat plants, especially the Plains Indians, the meat eaters, and some of them up in Ontario, they would only eat plants if they were starving to death. If there wasn't a meat supply for some reason. And then you kind of think about that. They didn't eat plants, but we today have to eat plants because it's, quote, healthy. We have to. So I start looking up. I can't find a single study that can prove that we even need plants or fruit. Now, there's nutrients in there, no doubt. But the body doesn't need it to work perfectly. We don't need fruits and vegetables. If you can find a study on that, by all means, please do. Because when you look at wild meat and grass-fed meat and more natural-type meat, everything that's in vegetables, short of vitamin C, is in the meat in stronger doses that your body can take up. Because this is where the survivalists always get in trouble. They're going to go pick their plantain leaves and their dandelions and stuff like that, and they're going to eat them. It doesn't do them any good. Those, for the most part, are oil-based vitamins. So you can eat all that you want to, but unless you've got fat to go with it or an oil, your body cannot digest that stuff. So the body obviously wasn't meant to eat plants the way that we do today with salads. And all this is just observational. And trust me, I'm going somewhere here in a second. But they weren't eating plants. And they didn't look at plants as food unless they were starving to death. But what they did look at plants for was medicine. All ancient cultures looked at plants for medicine. And they would put them on wounds, and they would make teas with them, and they would do different things. They would actually use them almost as a spice on certain type of meat. But they didn't just sit down and eat a bowl or a handfuls of vegetables. That just wasn't part of the plan. But they were bigger, stronger, more dense, and had a bigger brain than we do. See, that's a huge conflict for us today, because I grow all kind of stuff, because, you know, if you want to be healthy, you know, you eat your vegetables and your fruits, and you do all that. But looking back on what seems to be a more superior being, a more superior version of a human, they didn't eat them, but we do. How is this possible? Well, it got me really thinking, is there a natural baseline for what a human should be doing and eating? And what is that natural baseline? Because if you look at other hunter-gatherers that were not in places in the world where they had the large fatty animals and stuff like that, they did rely more on plants. But when you look at their remains, they're shorter, they're weaker, they have cavities, and they're full of degenerative diseases. So if you look at one that's bigger, stronger, probably faster and smarter that didn't eat plants, or you look at one that did, and they're smaller, weaker, and sick, you would have to only assume that the bigger, stronger, faster with a big brain is probably the natural baseline of what a human being has the capability or should be. Does that kind of make sense? I mean, that's the way I'm looking at it. And then you look at the muscle that's on the males, and you kind of get a grasp on what they did on a day-to-day basis. They walked a lot because they didn't have cars. They weren't riding animals. They did very short bursts of energy. If they had to attack something, it was either done or over with, pretty quick. They didn't, go out with saws and do all this stuff that we think using muscle for. But they did have everyday things that you would need some muscle, but it wasn't like they would work 8 hours. That'd be a foreign concept to a hunter-gatherer. It'd be kind of foolish. You're just like a cow. You just do what you need to do to get along. You don't do any more because you got to conserve energy, because you don't know if the next mastodon's going to come by and you can get a big chunk of meat off of it. So you conserved your energy. You just didn't do excess. You didn't do lifting weights or training the way that we think of to get bigger and stronger today. And all this is just bouncing around in my head. And then I come across a lot of diets today that are trying to get rid of people's allergies, do an interesting thing, and it's called an elimination diet. So if you're having allergies to something, or you're always having, your sinuses are always messing up and you're always having headaches and stuff like that, somehow doctors in modern world realize there's something there that you're eating. Now, sometimes it can be lactose intolerance, but most of the time it is a plant or it's a grain. So what does a doctor do? He takes a patient and it's on meat and water diet. And after about 3 weeks of being on this meat and water diet, there's a diet out there that's very popular now called the Whole30. It's kind of the same premise. It's based off what doctors do to find allergies. So once you strip the human being back to apparently what the optimal way for a human to eat is, just from observation, you add in grain. Does it mess with you or not mess with you? And then you add in, say, kale. Does it mess with you or not mess with you? Milk. Does it mess with you or not mess with you? But you always go back to the baseline, which is meat and water. me, I find that very interesting. Because apparently there's no reactions that are negative from a human being as long as they're healthy from meat. But everything else that we eat, they have to test this way to find out what is causing an issue. I just find that fascinating. So it seems, and this is kind of where, I don't know what this means. I don't know where this goes. I don't know what this means for me personally or anything like that. But it seems like to be the natural baseline of a human being, it's a meat eater. Now, in today's world, when you look at studies about, meat eaters have higher risk of heart attacks. Well, when you look at those studies, a meat eater in a scientific study means you can live off of pizza and hamburgers and hot dogs and casserole and all kind of sugary drinks and desserts and all kind of pasta and bread. But if you eat some meat, you're just clumped into this thing called a meat eater. That you're really not a meat eater. You're a eat everything in the world with some meat eater. If you kind of follow what I'm saying. So the studies when people, like the vegetarians, I'll talk about certain things, or the Seventh-day Adventists, they'll bring up certain studies. And as they see meat eaters, well, like I said, yeah, you're comparing someone that's probably eating a lot less processed food to someone that's just living on junk food. Because I was talking the other day about what Travis ate, just out of curiosity. The boy eats off probably a 90% glucose sugar-based diet. Now, he's skinny, he's young, he can do anything at his age. But it's about 90% sugar. Once it gets in his mouth and gets in his digestive tract, it's a 90% sugar diet. Now, he is a meat eater. He loves eating rabbit and deer and hamburgers and chicken livers and chicken tenders and steaks and stuff like that. But the majority of what he eats is everything else. So to consider his diet with someone that's on a carnivore diet is actually laughable when you think about the two. And the doctors that are trying to eliminate someone's allergies takes them back to the baseline. And I'm wondering if that baseline is actually what a human being is meant to eat. Because here's something a trapper should understand. The human digestive tract is almost identical to a canine's. Complete opposite of an herbivore, where they have to ferment stuff. A chimpanzee has got totally different intestines than we do. And they spend 60% of their day chewing food just so they can ferment it in their stomach to get nutrition. Now, they're strong and they're fast, but their brain has never developed the way that ours has. And most anthropologists will tell you the reason that the human brain is where it is today is because of meat and fat and cholesterol. That's why. So all this is going through my head. This has been bouncing around pretty hard for about 2.5 weeks in my head. But the thing of looking at the hunter-gatherers, I just ran a short experiment. Guys, this is such a short-term thing, it makes no difference whatsoever. None whatsoever. But it's just interesting, and I'm thinking if some of you are out there that want to get in shape a little bit, this could be an interesting experiment for you to do. Because what I found out, guys that somewhat enjoy lifting weights, they always find excuses to lift weights off and on their whole life. I enjoy lifting weights. I enjoy moving weight. I did, I probably started off and on lifting weights when I was probably seventh grade. You know, you want to have the guns like Arnold Schwarzenegger did in Conan at the time. Of course, we didn't know that you had to take steroids that he took at the same time. But we thought if we, got a little plastic weight set and we went out there and did a bunch of curls, we're going to look like Arnold in a week. And it never did happen. But then I got into sports, and then I got into more strength training and, moving heavy weights. And I was pretty big when I first went into basic training. I had to get my BDUs sleeves custom made from some Korean ladies, because when you rolled up your BDUs, your jacket, it actually cut the circulation off my arms like a rubber band. And the drill sergeants made me take them over there and pay to get these people to make my sleeves bigger. So when I say that I'm used to lifting weights, that's just the way it was. I've always enjoyed that. I've always enjoyed moving heavy weights, which usually relates to bigger muscle. Now, this was early in my life. Now I'm almost 50. I'll be 50 in February. Looking back with the premise of, is this the natural basis of the best human being? A meat eater that does stuff in spurts. Is that a better way to go? So I've been upping my eating my meat in my diet a lot. I haven't went full carnivore at all. But I am doing some things that, you know, like for breakfast, I get a big old thing of roast beef. I put some aged white cheese in the middle of it. And I'm using ghee, which is a concentrated butter. And I put some of that on a plate and I use it kind of like a sauce. Oh my God, is that good, by the way. Because it's kind of like your body goes, yeah, this is what you're supposed to be eating. Now, pancakes is good too, but this is a different kind of good. So I've been eating more meat. Kind of like that. And after reading this, I'm like, you know, and after the Goggins thing where I'm doing 100 push-ups a day or 100 sit-ups or, you know, 100 squats or something like that, you know, I'm only spending maybe 10 minutes a day exercising. That kind of fits more into what the hunter-gatherers did. Now, I've trained with weights pretty much my whole life off and on. I mean, I could move a bunch of weight. That's not a bragging thing. That's just something I enjoy doing. So I did it. What I'm noticing from kind of doing my wimpy version of Goggins exercise is I can tell a difference in just a month. And it's a different difference than it was when I would lift weights in a traditional way, where you'd go to the gym, you'd work out really hard, go to exhaustion, move a bunch of weight, and you would leave in 45 minutes to an hour, and you go about doing your own thing every day. See, the way I'm doing this now, I may get up, I may do some reading, eat my big thing of roast beef and ghee, you know, go to do orders, but while I'm doing orders, I'll package two or three orders, and I'll do an exercise. You know, so it could be 20 push-ups, for an example. I just do it there in the shop. Takes me 40 seconds. Do 20 push-ups. I'm not exhausting myself at all. I get up, I do something else. You know, 45 minutes later, I get done with the order, so I knock out 20 more. And then after lunch, I may do 20. And then, you know, about 3 or 4 o'clock, I'll do 20. And then, you know, when I go to do the ducks and I'm waiting on their tank to fill up with water, I'll knock out 20 more. So I do 100, 120 push-ups in a day, spread out. Now keep this in mind, spread out over a 9 to 10 hour thing. Nobody would do that in a gym because you can't live in a gym like that. But the strength that I'm getting is different than it was when I worked out at a gym. The recuperation I'm getting is very different than when I worked out a gym because I'm doing higher reps. I'm not trying to move a ton of weight. You know, when I do, if I'm going to do a curl, for an example, with a dumbbell, what I used to use 65 pounds for, I'm using 35. And instead of doing 5 or 6 reps, I'm doing 20 to 25. See, that's not supposedly how you build muscle. Not per se. But it is very different. I knew this guy when I was in high school. I knew him in junior high. There was one street in the country, Mexicana, where I lived, where there were some black people on there. And then there was me and a black guy that were the same age, and we went to the same school, became very close friends. And his name was Steven. Everybody called him Tyrone. Don't know why, but that's just what he was used to. And so Tyrone looked like he could probably go on a diet and win a bodybuilding contest. He never lifted weights, ever. But you know what he ate all the time? Every morning before school, he would eat 6 or 8 to 10 scrambled eggs with cheese. Because these people were pretty poor. And eggs are cheap. And then he would eat whatever he had at lunch, but if he was at home, it'd usually be ribs and chicken and stuff like that that they would grill out. It was almost like a street thing they would do every night, and it was actually pretty cool. But he was eating a high meat and very few carb diet, and he was really big. But he did throw hay in the summer, and he helped his brother do pulpwood. First time he ever lifted weights, he bench pressed 315 pounds. His whole body was built off more like a hunter-gatherer, not like a weightlifter. So is it optimal? I don't know. But if you're thinking of getting shape, try that. Spread it out over the day. Don't try to kill yourself. And just see what it says. Just think about these things. Is there an optimal human baseline that maybe we could go for? I don't know. It's just interesting.